Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 212. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button before we get going. Wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. You got the Play Tessie playlist there with all of our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up on all of them. You know the drill. And find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's just Gordo and Sammy here today. Pat is in Portugal. So lucky Pat, he sent us a picture. I don't know what time it is out there, but right before we started recording this, he sent us a picture of himself drinking whiskey. So Pat is currently living it up in Portugal while we have to talk about the Red Sox getting swept by the Tigers and how reactionary we want to be. Because I'll just get it started here. Like, cooler heads have prevailed to an extent. I mean, Sammy, I want to give you the first word here, because I would say it was maybe 2 weeks ago we had the we were having discussions about whether we should be worried and what the deal is with all these with everything that's happening. And the conversation was, well, is it a large enough sample size to really have these concerns? Now, wait, what are we, 45 games in now? Are they 22 45. And 23? Okay, so 45 games in, where are you on the, is it time to actually start looking at what we're seeing and doing something about it because it's been 45 games? Or are you of the mindset of give it a little bit more time because you believe in the roster that's out there?
Well, it's a little bit of both. That's a tough question. I do think the Red Sox need to address the bullpen ASAP. Again, we all figured they were an arm short. So that's something I would do as soon as possible. But the team overall, and Cora alluded to this last night, Wednesday night as we record here on Thursday, they're not playing bad baseball at all. They're just losing in the last second every single night, it feels like. So while it sucks to see them lose all these one-run games, I believe that's 12 of them now, which is
4-12. 4-12 in one-run games is the
4-12 right now in one-run games. I mean, that's brutal. You can look at that two ways. One, water tends to find its level over this 162-game season. Or two, this team has no clutch. I lean more towards the first part where I think they'll win more of these one-run games, but still, you could counter that by saying, well, you just said the bullpen's not great. So I'm a little in between. I think the lineup is really finding its groove. I feel good about the lineup. I've been steady on that all year long, even through their low points. I think the rotation is good, not great. It's just the bullpen. The bullpen is one guy short. And the weirdest thing about it, there's no single guy to point to.
Yeah.
Everyone's overall doing, yeah, everyone's doing okay, but there's, but it's every night someone screws up and that costs them the game. It's not one guy who's like, this guy is the issue. It's a different issue every night. How great is that?
Yeah. And you basically, you outlined it without knowing you were outlining it, but the truth is that they could improve in a number of areas. There's no glaring, obvious, oh my God, besides the first base thing. But the truth is, like, Nick Sogard has had a couple of good games, and he is certainly not the reason that they got swept in the series. We will get into the rotation, because I think they are going to get better production out of the rotation coming up soon, because they've placed Tanner Houck on the injured list, quote unquote, the phantom fake IL. I think
devastating injury he's dealing with. The what is it?
I don't even remember. Pat was basically, we texted Pat and Pat was like, yeah, that's not a thing, but
it's a wildly fake injury in my opinion, but and so, maybe I'm wrong.
So we'll get to the Houck thing, but the truth is with this team, and we talked about it with the bullpen. Yes, they're a high leverage arm short, but there is no single guy that goes out there and it's like, oh brother, this guy again, he's got a 6.5 ERA and they still think he's gonna what? Like, no, like
right
now Chapman is your guy that you trust. Slayton, I think we all feel good about. I know he's had some hiccups along the way, but he threw a 1-2-3 inning, struck out the side in the second game of the series, so you have to feel better about where he's at. I think, and like the middle relief, like we talked about the middle relief being problematic, but like, I know they pushed Weiser an inning too far than we would have liked, but they had to because no one else was available. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe we could talk about the manager too, because I feel like a lot of people are, hey, why do they not talk about Alex Cora? Why is Alex Cora not at fault? We have a lot to get into here, but with the bullpen, it is not one guy. There's not one guy that I would even feel justified kicking down to AAA if you told me the Red Sox could have like Edwin Diaz tomorrow. Maybe that's a bad example because he's not that great, but like, you know what I mean? If they could get one of the closers in baseball tomorrow and someone had to go, like, I wouldn't feel good about whoever they kick. Like, obviously Criswell is going to be the one to go when Buehler comes back. So, but after that, what are you going to send down Bernie, who's got a 1.5 ERA? Are you going to DFA Hendricks, who's thrown 8 straight scoreless innings? Are you going to like DFA Justin Wilson, who's been your most reliable lefty, not counting Chapman, the closer? Like, unless you're going to phantom IL Whitlock, and maybe that's where we should go with this conversation, is what do you make about Garrett Whitlock's struggles? And do you think it's something that's going to last? And is it something we should be concerned about? I think definitely he's struggled enough to this point where you should be concerned. It's just to what level.
Yeah, hard to say, him coming off of surgery, like we were speaking a little before we started recording, people don't touch on that. He is coming off of surgery, so maybe he's going to have these peaks and valleys. He's another guy, if he got the phantom IL, whatever you want to call it, a 2-week break, I think that might serve him well. His pitches look fine. It's kind of the location that's been burning him. Frustrating because early on in the season, he was looking like one of the best bullpen weapons in Major League Baseball. Guy comes out, throws 2 clean innings, strikes out 3-4 guys every time. Great, great guy to have. And then all of a sudden, it was that one game against Toronto, and he just hasn't been the same since then. So another guy who maybe needs a reset, but this is more along the lines of what I was just saying. It's not one guy. It's just every night it's someone new. So
yeah,
I guess that could answer your question of what do you do? And if you're not doing that, then yeah, you kind of alluded to it. Probably be Bernie by default. A lot of lefties in the bullpen.
There you go. It's like yeah. how does that? I mean, yes, they don't trust Bernie in high leverage situations. But like, if you're replacing a guy with a 1.65 ERA with another guy who they're also by default not going to trust in high leverage situations,
right?
You're not getting better.
See, this is what I was talking about a few weeks ago. I want the Red Sox, I don't think we're at this point in the season where they could trade for a closer. They could get bullpen help, but it's not going to be a Yoán Duran. That's the guy I've got on the mind. And I would
That's what I should have said instead of Diaz.
Ugh. It's okay. Griffin Jackson. Either way. But the point is, I want to get Chapman out of the ninth inning so that they can put him in those situations where, man, we need a clean inning. 3-4-5 for the other team is coming up. It's the seventh inning, one run game. Don't really trust Whitlock here. Hey, Slayton pitched last night. Chapman, get in there. And then we have someone in the ninth inning to do what Chapman has been doing. It's not because Chapman has not performed well. It's because Chapman has pitched innings 6, 7, 8, 9 throughout his career. And I feel like he can do that for the Red Sox if they had someone locking down the ninth inning. But they don't. So here's kind of married to that closer role right now.
Here's where I push back on that a little bit is just Justin Slayton has been so good as the lefty specialist that it makes me feel very comfortable with Chapman in the ninth. And Chapman in the ninth has been kind of the one stable bullpen guy that you have. And I see so many people saying, push him for more than an inning, which he like practically has never done in the last 5 years. Going back-to-back days, no. He went back-to-back days and lost the game. Granted, it was a walk and a single. It's not like he was awful. He almost got out of it. And obviously Connor Wong had the bad throw. But to me, I agree. I would love for them to get bullpen help. I just don't know how realistic it is on May 15th, it was as we record this, for them to do it. And even if they did, and I'd be okay with them paying a hefty price. Like they're in a win now window and they've still got a deep as hell farm. Go ahead and pay the price. I just don't know what teams are going to be open to it. Unless you were giving them big league talent that they needed. And that's
it's going to be a high price. It's going to be like 150% of the normal price. But Gordo, to counter your counter, I agree with you. I do feel comfortable with Slayton in there.
It's just Slayton. I meant Justin Wilson as the lefty specialist.
Oh, okay.
Justin Wilson is the lefty specialist and he's been nails.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want Chapman as a lefty specialist, though. I want him, like, you got Aaron Judge coming up. I'd still feel good about Chapman in that spot. You got who? Big right-hander Tatis or someone coming. Vlad, guys like that. I would still want him up there even if it's a righty. I just want Cora to be able to use Chapman at any point in the game. Or, alternatively, you get a guy like Duran, and then use him in that role. I just don't like having your only one shutdown guy and he's married to the ninth inning. I like all the great Red Sox teams had a setup man or two who you could put in tight situations and you felt great about it. So whether it's Chapman moving out of the ninth or acquiring someone who's kind of a closer setup man type, I think that's the move the Red Sox are going to eventually make. I'd like for it to happen yesterday, but I don't think it's going to happen until late June, July.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's like no matter how you slice it, who goes which inning, the truth is they are a shutdown arm short. Like they needed three out of the four at minimum of like going into the season. We had these conversations. They needed Chapman, Slayton, Whitlock, Hendricks. They needed three out of the four of those guys to be shut down. You've got one in Chapman. Slayton, I mean, he hasn't been that. I think he will be that. I have full confidence in him. And to be honest with you, I have confidence in Whitlock to the point where I actually wouldn't even put him on the Phantom IL. I think if you put Whitlock on the Phantom IL, you'd be begging for him back within a few days.
Maybe just put him in lower leverage spots.
Yes,
like Gordo, what I said. You're totally right. It was Chapman. Who'd the guy's name? Chapman, Hendricks, Whitlock.
Slayton,
the guys.
And Slayton.
Okay. Four. That is such a flimsy plan. Like
yeah,
Chapman,
no, it was.
Good career, but blows up a lot. Yeah, like Hendricks coming off of elbow surgery and cancer. Like, come on, man. He's got a lot to work through. Whitlock coming off of a surgery. And then Slayton, who was good for one season. That's such a flimsy. And I know it's the bullpen. People will go, this is what you do. This is how you build a bullpen. But, a little bit more of a reliable crew would have been nice. And sure, there have been guys like Zach Kelly we expected to have a big role. He struggled early on, so he's in AAA now. There are guys who we thought would play a bigger role who haven't. I get that. But it always felt like they needed one more shutdown arm. Not a guy, a motherfucker. They need a motherfucker.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, I think they can get that. I just don't think they can get it soon. So the question is going to be, assuming you can't get that soon, how do you get to the point where you can get it and remain in contention? Because we talk about they were, hovering around 500, but hey, they're still a half game out of the wild card and only a couple games out of the division. Well, now they're behind a bunch of teams for the wild card and they're four out of the division. And it just feels like with the off day today as we record, it might be time to do something. And I agree with what Cora said. They played better baseball in the second two games of the Tiger series. Obviously, the first game was a disaster. But the truth is, like, you need to win ball games. And the Tigers, yes, they've been one of the better teams in the American League, but they're not unbeatable, and you had winnable games, and they weren't won. And the truth is, with being 4-12 in one-run games, like, everyone's going to look at the bullpen, and you should, because I think the bullpen has been the primary reason they've lost those one-run games. But when you lose one-run games, it's not only lost at the end. Like, you could build up bigger leads at the beginning with more offense. You could let up fewer runs in the first six innings with better starting pitching. Like, you can get to the seventh, eighth, ninth innings with 5-6 run leads as opposed to 1-2 run leads. And it makes me think, man, what sort of moves could you make with the guys you have in your organization today to maybe put a better roster on the field to just give you that little inch of a push? That's all you need to push some of these one-run games into your favor. And a lot of people have a lot of different ideas. I'm curious, Sammy, do you have any move or any set of moves that you would make today to put this team in a better position to win games right now?
Yeah. So we spoke about, if someone gets called up, it's probably Bernie going down. Options, a lot of lefties. So he would probably be going down in the scenario I'm going to lay out. Has nothing to do with his ability. They need a strikeout leverage guy. I don't know if this is the solution. I'm not going Luis Guerrero. I'm thinking Nick Birdie. And let me tell you these numbers in AAA. This is a guy who's pitched in Major League Baseball before. He's 32 years old, so he's a veteran. I don't think he's going to be shook by the moment. He's pitched 13 games, 16.2 innings, 0.54 ERA, 25 strikeouts. He is absolutely, what do you say, Gordo, daddying in AAA right now. So that's the kind of guy I look at. Injury issues his whole career. That's the knock on him. He's gotten hurt a lot. I think this is the time. Fuck it. Give it a try. Nick Birdie, flamethrower, strikeout machine. And again, people want Luis Guerrero. He's had some success in Major League Baseball. He's been okay in AAA. He just doesn't make me feel super confident long term. I don't think he's bad. I think he's totally capable.
The walk to strikeout does not imply that he's going to be... He hasn't let up a run in Major League Baseball, but people think that he's going to be the savior. I just don't know.
That's exactly why I said what I said. It's the walks to strikeouts. It's like, yeah, the results are good. It's a results-driven industry, but if we're looking ahead, is this sustainable? I have my doubts. So Birdie, crazy strikeout rate, has hardly given up a single run in AAA. Actually, how many runs has he given up?
He has like an 0.5 something ERA. I was looking at it today.
0.54, yeah. 0.54. He's had one earned run. Call this fucking guy up.
It's like, what, 25 strikeouts in 16 2/3 innings? Do I have that right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Sammy, is I actually agree. I would like to see Birdie get his chance, because I think that even though there's guys who have had success in this bullpen, he actually might have as good, if not a better chance to become one of those late inning leverage arms. But I default back to, if you're replacing a guy with a 1.6 ERA with a guy that you hope is going to have a 1.6 ERA, it's like the Peter Griffin, like, what do we want, the mystery box just so it can be the timeshare, or what did they want?
Right.
They wanted the boat.
But the thing is, you're right, but you're replacing Bernardino, a guy who's not a leverage guy, with Nick Birdie, who you're calling up and saying, hey, I know you haven't done a ton of this before, but we need a leverage arm. This is your tryout. Good luck. Or alternatively,
scary, though.
I know, yeah. Dude, desperate times, desperate measures. Not many better options.
But why not try Bernie? And like if you're going to call Birdie up to do it, why not try Bernardino, who has a 1.6? Like, why not give him a few more of those to see if he can do it? It's kind of the same.
Do we have a clutch? Let me try to find.
Oh, there's no way. There's no way his clutch stuff. I agree. It's been a lot of lower leverage.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And here's the other alternate solution I was thinking about. Keep Bernie or call up Birdie. Either way, that's tough to say.
I know. This is a brutal conversation. Bernie.
So Bernie or Birdie. Either way, keep them. Put Hendricks in leverage spots, which they've started to do a little bit. Liam Hendricks more like Liam Hendricks, I guess. Kind of like, all right, training wheels are off your back. You're back now. Go pitch leverage innings for us. That's why we signed you initially. Maybe that's the solution.
So I'll tell you, I think the bullpen until the deadline is going to be a crapshoot. And I think any solution that you try has just as high of a potential to fail than just keeping it as is. because I think you're just going to be shifting arms that you don't really know that much about in and out. And I hope guys stay healthy, but if guys don't stay healthy, like those are like these guys are going to get their chance. Guerrero, Birdie, they will get their shot. Let me tell you what I would do. We talked a little bit about the fact that it's hard to trade for elite level relief pitchers at this point in the season without doing something a little bit crazy.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Crazy. I'll tell you something a little bit crazy that I would consider. You've got three outfielders. Well, you've got two outfielders that are playing really good baseball right now. Willy Abreu, one of the better outfielders in the league. And Sadon is playing really good ball for about a week and a half now. Duran is obviously, Duran's struggling, but it's Jaren Duran. And this team is very dependent on him figuring it out to an extent. You want to get Roman Anthony up here. That's a spark that this team desperately needs. And if Devers isn't going to go to first base and have a rotating cast of outfielders, one way to get Roman Anthony to the majors while also getting yourself some solid relief help would be to sell high on Sadon Rafaela while he's playing like this. Get that contract off the books before he gets a chance to cool off. Get a reliever in that deal and Roman Anthony comes up. Jaren Duran's your center fielder. Hell, maybe Roman Anthony's your center fielder and you keep Duran in left. Up to you. I don't care.
Yeah.
This is how you get a more stable offense. Your defense takes a hit. I mean, we all saw the catch that Sadon made off of Abreu's deflection, which was, I've never seen anything like that before.
So cool.
You see Sadon make crazy catches like 2-3 times a week. It's crazy. So your defense, yeah, when losing that guy would take a hit, but you'd have a more stable offense. Get Roman Anthony in there. Your ceiling dramatically increases offensively. And if you can get a team interested in Sadon that is willing to give you some relief help in the deal, I think now is the time, man. Because in the offseason, I thought that Rafaela contract was a negative asset. At this moment in time, it doesn't feel like a negative asset. So to me, why not maybe take advantage of that? Like a guy like Sadon, who is a potential difference maker for a team, that's how you get teams to listen in May, to give up something that they don't want to give up if they maybe have a long-term injury in center field, or maybe they don't have a good three quality outfielders. Like that's how you get teams to listen, is to offer a guy like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an option. My concern is, you just said right now they have so many outfielders, which I agree with. You look down, you Duran in left, Sadon in center, Willier in right, you got the guys in the minors. If you trade Sadon, you lose an outfielder, okay? Help your bullpen, great. Jaron Duran currently has a lower OPS than Sadon Rafaela.
Yeah,
if he's not remotely close to the guy he was in 2024, then all of a sudden it feels like you need another outfielder. So my concern about Jaron Duran would give me pause before doing that. And no, I don't think Duran is a sub 700 OPS guy. I think he'll turn it up a little bit at some point in 2025, but he's been bad. And I know people don't like ragging on Duran. He's well-liked. I like Duran, but you got to call a spade a spade. He has not been good. And when your catalyst is not hitting well, with Rafael Devers behind him too, mind you, so he's seeing good pitches, that's a problem. So,
well, Sammy, here's the thing.
I think your idea is... Go ahead.
Where does Roman Anthony hit in the lineup in AAA?
First, I want him leading off. Yes. Yeah. See, that's why I thought you were going to say trade Duran and kind of like bite the bullet. You should have sold
high, whatever.
Can I
tell you why I didn't say it? Can I tell you why I didn't say it? Because I think that's the kind of guy where if you deal him midseason, you risk losing the clubhouse with a move like that. If you trade Duran and he, even if he doesn't recapture what he was last year, like taking that guy, the catalyst for the team, when he's on, like the team goes. Like it's been very clear as day. When he plays well, the team wins games, and when he doesn't, the team loses games. And he hasn't played well this year, so the team has lost games.
Yeah, it's a valid concern. You could, if you really want to help the clubhouse out, you could trade Duran to the Angels for Kenley Jansen, and I'm sure they'd be thrilled about that.
Oh.
No, but it's tough because I don't think anything either of us have said is wrong. No matter what they do, they're going to be incurring some risk, and if it is a trade, they're going to be incurring risk, not just on the field, but like you said, in the clubhouse. And Duran, yeah. Is he the guy that shakeup would hurt the locker room? You could be right. Does Roman Anthony coming up alleviate some of that? I don't fucking know.
No, wait. Hey, to quote Jaron, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he did say right at the end of spring training that the team was going to miss Meyer and Anthony's energy. And like those guys going to AAA, like we will miss those guys.
You imagine? And I know he'd be out. Think about this at the deadline. And we're going to talk a ton about the deadline once we get there, because this is a weird American league. We don't know what's going to happen right now. But can you imagine Duran traded? You get a decent, not decent, but a good relief pitcher. You call up Roman Anthony. He's leading off for you right after the trade deadline. It feels like you just acquired not just bullpen help, but now you got this new leadoff hitter. And then maybe you move Christian Campbell to first base, and now you have Meyer in there too. And it's like you got all this injection of energy, and your bullpen is feeling better. That's, you know, I like your idea, the Rafael idea too. I think that would work fine as well. I really, for some reason, don't want to trade Sadon Rafaela.
No, I mean, really I get it. He's playing great right now, and it's hard to like to think about, damn, you get rid of that guy, you see how good he can be when he's valuable at the plate. Like, he's been one of the biggest difference makers on this team, if not the, well, Bregman's been the biggest difference maker for like the last week.
Devers Sadon, and Bregman, yeah.
For the last week, though, Sadon's up there. And
yeah,
again, like maybe I don't want to say I don't believe in the guy. I just don't necessarily think that he's going to be an above average hitter. So maybe in this moment, while he's doing that, that could be your avenue to get bullpen help, to get Roman Anthony up to the majors. But hell, man, like the Dodgers just called up their top prospect, Dalton Rushing, who's a catcher, and they have Will Smith. So you could call up Roman Anthony anyway and find at bats for him. Like the Dodgers just showed it's possible.
Put Duran at first base. He's a former infielder. He's 6'1". I bet he could do it. It's like a 1980s style first baseman.
Can I ask you a question, Sammy? Because you just brought up, I forget how you said it, but you brought up Meyer, and it brought this idea into my head. Not an idea. Just
my usual Campbell to first base shtick.
I'm going to ask you a question, and then after I ask it, I'm going to go find the recent stats. But Marcelo Meyer, weirdly, I think you would have been, I would have been shocked if you told me at this point right now today that you, that I think he's closer to the majors than Roman Anthony. And obviously that has plenty more to do with external factors rather than their play. They've both been awesome. Like, you look at their numbers, you watch the games, you see the highlights. Like, both these kids have been incredible. Roman Anthony, we just talked about how your outfielders are Duran, who was an MVP candidate a year ago, who you're going to have faith in, Sadon, who's playing his best baseball of the season, and Willier Abreu, who's one of the best outfielders in the league. There's just no spot. With Meyer, you've got Trevor Story at shortstop, who has been objectively the least valuable player on the team for, what, close to a month now? Over three weeks?
Yeah, he's been rough. I hate it. I hate it, but it's true.
No, yeah, it's undeniable. I'm going to pull up the stats, but I'm going to ask you this question, and I've got an answer for you, and I actually kind of implied it on Twitter, and I think people said I actually wasn't being urgent enough, which is surprising, because I feel like I've been pointing out the Trevor Story struggles and kind of connecting it to Meyer for a while, and it's kind of felt premature. But if Story continues to do this, and the Red Sox continue to play 500 or worse, when is your borderline day for when you're going to say, sorry, Trevor, we just can't do this anymore. This kid is crushing it in AAA. He's been our one of our top prospects for 4 years now. This is the future. He's probably the present too. We're going to take you off shortstop, maybe platoon you with Meyer. They do that with the lefties when they come up, but like, you're not the starting shortstop anymore. When is your borderline for that?
So the question is, when is my borderline for Trevor Story losing the starting shortstop job?
Yep.
I mean, I would call up Meyer today and move Story to second base, because first of all, if you want to get any value out of Trevor Story, he has to be playing defense, good defense, middle infield defense, not first base. I've seen some people say Story to first base. I don't think it's crazy. I just don't think it's the right move. So I would do that. I would call up Meyer today, say, Trevor, sorry, this is where you do your leadership stuff. Show them how you're a team player. You're moving to second base. Your defensive metrics have gone down. Now you're going to go to second, where you were really good in 2022. The young kid, Meyer, is going to be shortstop. Christian Campbell, you're not great at second base either. You're going to be the first baseman. You're tall. You're a big target. You can catch the ball in the air. I would do that right away. I don't think there's any reason to wait. Well, like, I think there's, like, I would love to hear the upside to waiting.
Let's say Christian Campbell at first base isn't an option. So if you're calling Marcelo Meyer up, you either have to put Campbell in the outfield and bench one of those guys, bench Campbell, or bench Story. So in this scenario, you'd be benching Story. Like, when do you feel comfortable saying, I don't have, like, when are you not confident enough in Story to keep throwing him out there? It's badly worded on my part, but you know what I mean.
Due to the roster construction, I probably wouldn't do that. Like bench him completely. Like, he's coming off the bench, he's playing once every 3-4 days kind of thing?
Yeah, he'd play against lefties, Meyer would play against righties, so Meyer would get the overwhelming majority of the reps.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that until close to the trade deadline. You got to see how everything shakes out. If Campbell's not going to first base and there's no scenario in which you can have Meyer and Story as your middle infield, then I think you got to be patient. If you're not willing to be abstract, think outside the box, move guys around, I think that's the price you pay. Then you got to wait it out. Hope that Story bounces back, which, by the way, not out of the question. He was hot to start. He can heat up again. It's been ugly. Not giving excuses for the guy. But if they're not going to move Campbell and they're going to have to shuffle the lineup and make it all weird, then yeah, I think you got to wait, unfortunately.
Here's what I would do. June 1st. June 1st is my deadline. And Trevor Story, in the last 19 games, 84 plate appearances, he's batting 115 with a 332 OPS. He has 9 hits. 8 of them are singles. He had the one home run in Kansas City, but he's got a 332 OPS in his last 19 games, 84 plate appearances. I respect the fact that at some point, if you keep running him out there, he's going to get hot again. It will happen. I think that if it doesn't happen by June 1st, you have to go to Meyer. And to be honest with you, I think I'm being pretty generous with that too, because they are a game under 500. The slightest nudge improvement anywhere. We talk about the bullpen, yes, but the slightest improvement anywhere can make these one-run losses into one-run wins. And
don't you think it's weird, though, to take Story, I'm not saying you're wrong, but to take Story out of his spot and then leave first base as, like, Nick Sogard, who's been good, but, like...
Well, hell, fine. If Devers continues to refuse to play first base, which hopefully by June 1st, you're seeing him start to work there. I don't know if that's going to happen. We haven't gotten any sort of update on that. But yeah, no, you're right, Sammy. If that's not going to happen, you're right. I would rather continue running Story out there than Sogard, because I think Story has the potential for a hot streak that Nick Sogard and Abraham Toro don't have. But also Romy's going to come back, and Romy's been way better than Story. So at that point, it's like...
True. I just like Story in the middle infield. They've turned so many double plays this year, and I know Story's defensive metrics overall are not good, but he's so good with that. And I feel like if you keep him at second, it keeps that smoothness of that middle infield ability to turn two. And it's hard. This is a tough conversation for me to have because I'm so dug in on my Christian Campbell take. Like, I really, really think that's the move, putting him at first. You beef up your offense and defense with that. So, yeah, I think what you're describing, it could work. I don't think it's crazy at all. The June 1st, Trevor, kind of enjoy the bench type thing. But I just feel like there's better ways to get the maximum amount of value with the guys on this roster.
Well, the thing with Story, I get it. You feel when a ground ball gets hit to him, the play you feel is getting made. But it's undeniable. He's in the eighth percentile in outs above average. It's getting worse.
That's crazy. How nuts is that?
He is sixth percentile in strikeout percentage, ninth percentile in chase percentage, third percentile in squared up percentage, eighth percentile in walk percentage. It's just batting run value, sixth percentile, fielding run value, 15th percentile. He's just not adding anything. And
crazy, man. I can't believe that.
The one thing that holds me up and the reason that I am willing to wait even an additional two more weeks to get to June 1st is that he is an important presence on this team. Like, you rip him off that position, it's the same thing as my argument about why I wouldn't trade Duran right now in season, is because it's going to potentially rub some people the wrong way in that clubhouse. But I mean, if he's not performing, the message needs to be, if you're not going to perform, then you're not going to play. And the Dodgers had Austin Barnes. I talked about the Dalton rushing thing. They had Austin Barnes for a decade plus, veteran leader in that clubhouse, and they DFA'd him. So that this is just the culture you need to establish. It's not about how long you've been in the league and how much money you make. It's about, are you helping the team win ball games? Because if you're not, and someone else can help us more, like Marcelo Meyer probably can, then at a certain point, it's time to go there.
Yeah, it is a tough look when you have, when your starting shortstop, Trevor Story, is out there on a daily basis and he's putting up, what's his OPS right now? It's probably going to be like, well, here, I'll pull it up right now. It's going to be ugly.
In the last 19 games, it's 332. Overall, it is 630.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough look. That's in a vacuum, that's a tough look. You got one of the best prospects in baseball. He's a shortstop. He's absolutely dominating in AAA. And the guy you got up here playing shortstop for your team is 32 years old with a 76 OPS plus. That's something's got to give. Something's got to give. And like I've said a million times, my move is not just like swap those two. I think you keep both and you maximize it. And then, you know, at the deadline, if Trevor Story still isn't performing and the defense isn't ticking up either at second base or short, wherever they put him, then I start to think maybe you might have to DFA this guy. And the clubhouse has to understand that. It can't be like, you got rid of our guy? How could you? Because he has a 76 OPS plus and we're trying to win games here. Sorry. I hate saying that, but I never want to see a guy lose their job. But like, if you're not performing.
I mean, the truth, Sammy, is that having him platoon with Meyer, he'd get favorable at bats. He'd have a chance to, I mean, obviously he wouldn't be playing every day, but he'd get favorable matchups against lefties. And if he's not doing anything with that and Meyer is playing well and you want to get Meyer some more everyday at bats, including against left-handed pitching, then yeah, the deadline, it actually, the timing would make sense for something like that. And if he plays well, then you just keep rolling with what you got. But yeah, I mean, it's the same
story as a platoon. Like,
obviously you don't like it. Come on. We needed this guy to be good.
No, I'm saying I'd rather him gone than in a platoon situation. I don't think he brings enough. And also, like, Meyer, and you know this, when he comes up, he's going to be playing every game, lefty or righty. Okay, if you face Tarek Skubo, maybe you give him a night off, but he's got to be playing every day, pretty like 99% of the games. Poor story, man. He's a guy we all wanted to succeed too. It's not over. The book's not closed on him, but
it's the same argument as, like, Sammy, today, if you had to pick a starting catcher to play 80%+ of the games, who are you taking?
I don't know, Gordo. You tell me. Say his name.
You're taking, Carl. You're taking Carl. That was fucking hilarious. What should his nickname be? Someone said Carl. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
No.
Carl.
The Narv. No, I'm taking the Narv.
You're not going with Wong, even though Wong's been the starting catcher for multiple years. He knows the pitching staff. He's kind of a vet guy. Guys like working with him, all that stuff. No, you're going with the guy, even though he's new, even though he's a rookie, you're going with the guy who's produced.
So sure, but also circumstance. Wong missed a lot of time. Narvaez is familiar with the staff now, and you do need a backup catcher. So Wong is like not out of a job. He's just in a different role.
But he's not starting. Right,
definitely not. But if Story were to be a backup, I'd be like, what value is this guy bringing?
No, I agree. It's not an exact conversation. I do think he'd bring value because they're not going to play Marcelo Meyer against lefties when he comes up here. Historically, in the minors has had issues with splits, although I'll have to look to see if it's maintained. But I know he started off the year doing pretty well against lefties, but they're not going to have him doing that in the majors. So you are going to want having that right-handed option at shortstop to me actually would be pretty beneficial. But we have to get a couple quick things in before enough said. I do want to talk about the Tanner Houck thing really quick. Obviously, in my opinion, it was time to. I don't think anyone's denying that it was time. I was wondering if he was going to get optioned. I actually had a tweet queued up just like in my drafts for him getting optioned. That's how confident I was that it was just going to happen. And they ended up putting him on the Phantom IL instead. Maybe there's something physically wrong that's been wrong since spring training with him. I have no idea what has led to these struggles, but. I mean, Hunter Dobbins has obviously earned the right to stay in this rotation over Houck for when Buehler gets back. They're going to move Bayo up a day, and everyone will be pitching on 4 days rest until Buehler's back on Tuesday. But this is, to me, how you maybe improve. We talk about the starting rotation. The rotation, in theory, should be improved when Buehler gets back, and your rotation now is what you had before, but insert Buehler for Houck. That should, in theory, be an improvement there in those games that Houck used to be starting that are now going to be started by Buehler should in theory be more competitive. So that hopefully is something that you won't have that 14-2, the two biggest blowouts of the Red Sox season that they lost were Tanner Houck starts. And that is now out of the equation and hopefully won't be back into the equation. Cause if Houck comes back as a starter, hopefully he's fixed.
Yeah. I mean, not too much to add to that. It seems mental, I would guess. I know some of his pitches look flat, so maybe it's not all mental, but just the demeanor. You see, we used to call him Cool Hand Luke. He did not look Cool Hand Luke. He looked Stressed Out Luke. Not fun to watch as a Red Sox fan. Is he the first Red Sox starter ever to have 2 10 earned run starts?
It's probably has to be.
Not a great club to be part of. I think this is time. I would have done it a little earlier even. Give him a reset just because you have so many guys knocking on the door who could contribute, like Dobbins, who's now up with the team. Check out our last episode if you want to see an interview with him. Fitz, when he's back, Cutter's coming back eventually, we think. So, yeah, unfortunate. I think he'll get right in AAA. And I like what you said on Twitter the other day. You don't want to give up on him as a starter. I agree. I think maybe he'll eventually go to the bullpen, but I'm not ready to, put a nail in that coffin. We just saw this guy make an all-star team less than a year ago. So, get right in AAA. I think everyone is supporting Tanner Houck. He's pretty well liked among the fan base, so hopefully the reset works.
No, I'm glad you brought that up about would you bring him back as a reliever? Would you bring him back as a starter? Because overwhelmingly, my mindset is he's got to come back trying to be a starter. And the truth is, it's just because the ceiling is so much higher than everyone else in that. Like, we saw it last year for half of the season, he was fucking incredible. The conversations we were having are, can we declare this guy an ace? And yeah, he's not that anymore. He's not that right now. But if you can send him to Fort Myers, have him work on some stuff, maybe it's physical, maybe it's mental. The velocity seemingly was okay, but you're right, Sammy. A lot of the pitches were flat. There wasn't the same movement on any of his breaking stuff. It wasn't the same. And I can't put a finger on why, but I would like to see him try with the benefit of time and reps and the ability to not because when you're going out there every fifth day, you only have so much time to actually work on your shit. When you're in Fort Myers without a game to be pitched, you can work on stuff. Or maybe he works on it here. I don't know.
But you got to go to Fort Myers, work on stuff, go to Twin Peaks, good studying spot, figure it out.
But then, yes, come back, try to be a starter, and I would make him a reliever if, A, you've got a five-man rotation that is working well and you're happy with, or B, he just doesn't have it even when he's trying to come back. So that's what I would do there. Best of luck to Tanner, because again, I mean, it's in everyone's best interest for this to happen, and hopefully he gets right. I want to see the old Tanner Houck. I really do. And I mean, it's in there somewhere. I just hope they can find it.
Yeah. Amen.
Before enough said, because I've gotten a lot of shit on Twitter about not being more critical of Alex Cora. Where are you on Alex Cora being at fault for what we've seen? And we can make this a quick one, because yeah, give me your thoughts. Like, is Alex Cora to blame for this? Should Alex Cora's job be in jeopardy?
No, I don't think Cora is the guy you got to look at. I think he's putting guys in the right situation. They're just not performing. Like, for example, the other night when Weissert had to go two innings, there's no other option. And then I go on Twitter, everyone's ripping Alex Cora. Like, who do you want to pitch? You want him to go out there and pitch? I think I would look more towards the front office for not seeing this coming. And by the way, I'm referencing the bullpen, because I think the bullpen's been the biggest issue. The lineup's totally come around, in my opinion. They're hitting now. The rotation is what it is. I think it's solid. But the bullpen has been the issue all along, before the season started. So yeah, Cora's got a tough job managing that bunch. It hasn't been easy. He hasn't been perfect. There's been times where I've gotten on him, you've gotten on him for small things, but like, he's only able to work with what he's got. And when you have Chapman and only Chapman as your reliable arm right now, like, what are you going to do? I just don't think it's him. I would look at the front office. If this were the 2018 Red Sox, that roster, and the team was struggling, I'd be like, all right, the fuck's going on here? But the guys who are supposed to be playing well have been put in a good position, and they have been playing well aside from Story and Duran. And I think that's fine. So blame it on the players. Cora can only do so much.
Yeah. My default is to blame what I can actually see. Like, because with Cora, yes, I've questioned some of his decision-making this year, but more than past years, I think. But I mean, past years, I practically never questioned anything he did, because I thought he was almost always in the right. And anytime I did question him, I proved to be wrong and he was right. This year, there's been a couple of things that I've wondered about. But that said, this guy is a top five, top three, maybe manager in the sport. All right.
Yeah,
they've struggled for a month and a half.
I don't like the hypothesizing of like, he's not motivating. Everyone wanted to fire Pete Fatsy early on in the season. Then an article drops 2 days ago, Alex Bregman being like, this guy changed my life. Look how good I'm friggin' hitting right now. So it's,
yeah,
I don't like guessing.
Alex Cora is one of the best managers in the sport. He is one of the best at massaging relationships and using his relationships with these guys, both English and Spanish speakers, to his advantage and to the team's advantage. He's one of the best clubhouse managers in the sport, and he's one of the smartest baseball minds in the sport. And you can call me a Cora hunk all you want. I'm not moving on from that guy. That, yes, he hasn't been perfect this year, but that is one of the best managers in the sport. And I want no part of even considering moving on from him. And that doesn't even consider the fact that you're just beginning a brand new contract with the guy. So put that to bed. Not
happening. Throw a new manager. You want to throw a new manager in this clubhouse right now with the Devers stuff and like the team struggling and who's going to get called up, who's going to get sent down? I don't think so.
It's dumb discourse, but I've been seeing the Cora stuff way more in my mentions than I had in the past. So I figured we had to address it.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, let's do some Nuff Said. Sammy,
I'm hyped.
Yeah, Sammy, you go first. You go first.
I'm really excited. Okay, so as we're recording on Thursday afternoon, the Red Sox just dropped their teaser for the City Connect. So I have not seen this. Haven't even taken a peek. Gordo, have you seen it?
No.
Okay, that would be weird if you did because it dropped in the middle of us recording this. So Joe, I believe, is going to cue it up and we're going to live react to this teaser. I don't know if we're going to see it or not, the actual jersey, but teaser time.
Video.
Oh, that was...
That's a teaser?
That's it.
Oh, come on. I thought it was going to be something cool. Okay, so obviously it's Green Monster related. The
I mean, we've seen the leaks. That was good.
What the fuck was
that? A hell of a jersey, man.
I was so excited for that, and they just show a door. All right, so it's going to be a Green Monster. It's going to be modeled after the Green Monster. The leaks we saw are probably accurate.
Yeah, probably pretty accurate. But hell of enough said by you, Sammy. It was well thought out, man. It was great.
I was so excited for that. I had a kid. I'm like, Joe, you got it queued up? And he's like, yeah, I got it. Got it. We're going to live react. It's a fucking door opening. God, come on.
Well,
that was great.
I'll do my enough said. And I hate to end the podcast on kind of a glum note, but I just can't believe that Jason Tatum tore his Achilles. It's like the end of an era of Celtics. I know they won the game last night and I was really happy they did. And who knows, maybe they get back into the series. I don't want to hear your take on it, Sammy, because if you say a word, you're going to curse them. But, and I'm not blaming you, by the way, for Tatum tearing his Achilles, but I am blaming you for them being down 3-2 in the series. It is your fault.
Thank you for not blaming me. I really,
it's not your fault that he tore the Achilles. We're going to find the culprit for that. So it's someone's fault. I don't know whose, but
also, Celtics in seven. It's probably going to be easy. So sorry.
All right. But yeah, the Tatum injury changes everything. You're going to see, I mean, you were already probably going to see guys traded in the offseason, but this just gives them an excuse to go even deeper down that road and prepare for 2 years down the road. And it's just sad, man. The guys, I mean, now everyone's giving him their flowers, but before, Jason Tatum, he's corny. Like he has this team around him. Now it's like, he's the superstar that everyone wants. That's team first. And plays every single game because he wants to. Best wishes to JT. I cannot imagine next winter without watching him play basketball. It is going to absolutely blow.
Yeah, they only love you when you're gone. I thought that was kind of gross, ESPN, all these guys who've been ripping him for absolutely no reason, brutal. By the way. Obvious Hall of Fame caliber player in the middle of his prime, just won a championship. All they do is rip the guy because he plays for the Celtics, and now they love him, so... Screw all those people. We've been JT guys from the jump.
Oh, how could you not be? He's the perfect team first superstar. And damn, I just, I like, I, I, it kills me inside to imagine not watching Celtics games without him for the next year. And then who knows, you know, the Achilles, sometimes they're never the same. I hope he doesn't try to come back in the middle of next year. Cause like,
make
I don't
the playoffs. Want, he'll come back. It'll be sick.
I don't even want him trying it. I just want, just make sure the thing is okay. Like we've got a year, we got years left with this guy. I want to make sure that he is good.
Yeah. Honestly, man, he's 27 years old. He's in unbelievable shape. He's in Boston. It's the medical hub of the country. I think he'll be back late next year. He's going to have a fast recovery. He's a workhorse too.
Just be damn sure that it's not going to be a re-tear situation if you rush him back.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if he re-tears it, like,
you're cooked.
Peace. You're done, Ski. But yeah, best wishes to JT. That kind of broke my heart watching that. I love that guy. He is the king of this city right now, and it sucks to watch him go down.
One of the worst Boston sports nights in a long time.
Yeah.
The Red Sox lost by 12 that night as well. So
yeah. That night has a chance to be up there for worst ever. We were talking about this in the chat, but my personal worst that I took it the hardest, that is up there. Red Sox game 162 in 2011 is up there. And for me, I took the Patriots Giants Super Bowl, the second one. I took that one really hard. So those three are my top three right there.
Bruins blowing it to Chicago was a nightmare as well, with the two goals in like 13 seconds or whatever, mm-hmm. just to end your season's just over in 13 seconds. Like, holy shit. Yeah. But yeah, we got a lot for all the championships Boston's won.
Well, that's the price you pay.
That is the price you pay.
Because you're in those games.
Painful shit. Yeah. I said that in that interview that we dropped on opening day. Like, we put up with a lot. You're always in those big games, gray hairs on your head.
No, it's true.
Shit happens.
It sounds shitty to say because, like, I'd kill to have my team in the AFC Championship every year, in the Eastern Conference Finals every year. But the truth is, like, when you're there every year, you lose those almost always. Like, it's not like the Patriots won six Super Bowls. That they had a 20-year run. That's a lot of late season losses in the, like, yes, I know it sounds super fucking spoiled, but like, it is true. Like, those losses hurt.
Yeah. Feel bad for us. Nobody has it worse than Boston fans.
Yeah. But we got to wrap this thing up. Red Sox are 4-12 in one run games. And by God, just do anything to change that because it needs to be changed. And I would not fault them one bit for making any sort of reactionary move right now. So we'll see what they do. Maybe news drops today as you're listening. Maybe they do nothing. We'll see. But the off day and coming home, that is a perfect time to do something. So we will see what the Red Sox do, if anything. But till tomorrow, appreciate you guys tuning in to this edition of Play Tessie, episode 212. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel, where you should definitely subscribe. Find the Play Tessie playlist, hit the thumbs up on all of those videos, and then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, where Joe continues to make awesome social clips from these shows, from our interviews with players. Great questions. We had David Sandlin coming after Hunter Dobbins for calling him the worst golfer in the organization in reaction to our interview with Dobbins. So we'll see how that develops. Eventually, we'll have to get David Sandlin on this show and hash this whole thing out. But anything else on this wrap? No? For Sammy, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie, episode 212. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.